Okay, good morning. So here we go. Just quick review. The last few weeks, we've spent time, like Steve said, in the book of Timothy. And if you were here and paying attention, you know that as Paul, you know, traveled around and spread the gospel story, he goes through the Ephesus, which, according to what we've learned, was an area that was full of wealthy people. I think Steve said it was like a port city. So a lot of money coming in out there, a lot of rich people who caught on to this message that Paul had to share. And there was churches set up. I think in that time it was a lot of home church situations. But there, it was a lot of flaunting of their money, of their economic status, very prideful people, very self-centered, coming to the church situation. And Paul saw that this was not healthy. So we also know, if we were paying attention in the last few weeks, that Paul talks about a lot of the leaders, the elders of the church at that time. Paul called them false teachers. They were deceived, and then they were teaching this false theology to the people that were coming to their homes, coming to their churches. So thus the need then Paul felt to station Timothy, his student, in this city. He told him to stay there, and Paul then is sending this letter to Timothy as far as what God had to say about what he's desiring in the church. And then Timothy, of course, is to take this information that Paul wrote in his letter and then to teach and train and raise up these leaders to get things, you know, lined up with the way the Lord wants it to be. So this was information concerning God's intention, God's best for his church in Ephesus. So here we are in York, Pennsylvania, City View Community Church. Maybe you're wondering why this is important to us today. We're nowhere near Ephesus. And the answer to that question is found in Hebrews 13:8. I'm just going to read this. I don't do this often, so I tend to go quickly. The good thing is, if you can't keep up, you can just get the tape. We don't. We do CDs. All right, Hebrews 13:8 says this. This is the answer to why this is important to us today here in York. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Period. It was important to him then. It's important to him today. It will be important to him forever. Okay? So let's turn to 1 Timothy 2. Steve asked me to share on 3 verses, 8, 9, and 10. I was glad he stopped there. So just go ahead and find that in your Bibles. I have a different Bible than what is in the under the chair, so I can't give you a page number. 1 Timothy 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. I just found this is just the one I chose to go with. Okay, here we go. Verse 8. And again, this is Paul writing this letter to Timothy. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray. Therefore, I desire, I'm reading the wrong version, Amplified. I desire, therefore, that in every place men should pray without quarreling, or without anger or quarreling, or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. Also, I desire that women should adorn themselves modestly and appropriately and sensibly in seemly apparel, not with elaborate hair arrangement or gold or pearls or expensive clothing, but by doing good deeds, deeds in themselves good and for the good and advantage of those contacted by them, as befits women who profess reverential fear for and devotion to God. So we're going to break this down. We'll just go right off the bat here, right off the top. I desire, therefore, that in every place. What's he talking about here? Every place. It's an easy one. Paul was talking about wherever Christians meaning true followers of Jesus, were gathered or assembled together to worship God. Every place, that's what he's talking about. Back then, like we said, it was probably a home church situation. Now, of course, we have church buildings where we all meet like this. We have small group. We do have home churches. We're going to have small groups starting up here, I think, next month. Praise the Lord. But where every place, wherever Christians, true followers of Christ, were gathered or assembled together to worship God. Okay, so what are we to do? What was he desiring to happen in every place? The next thing it says, men should pray. Let me back up. Malachi 1, let me just read this. Don't turn there. Malachi 1, verse 11. Chapter 1, verse 11. From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Every place, men should pray. What is prayer, you may ask? My version of that word, my definition of that word is simply prayer is talking to God. Simple as that. Sometimes we make it way more than what we have to. It's a simple thing. Prayer is talking to God. All right? Easiest person to talk to. Charity and I, and maybe you married couples will relate, Charity and I oftentimes will be discussing things, and we'll say to each other at times, you don't understand me, don't we? God is not like that. He knows you. He created you. He knows how emotional you are. He knows all about your day. He knows all about your struggles. Everything that you are dealing with, everything you're going through, everything you will be going through, he knows it all. And he understands. He can relate. So much easier to talk to him than what we realize, but often we just overlook him. We don't do it. He wants us to pray where? Everywhere. Okay? Every place he wants us to pray. He wants us to talk to him. So according to this scripture reference, though, who does it say? It says someone specific should pray. And who is that? Men. I desire, therefore, that in every place men should pray. God wants his men to take the lead. The lead role when offering prayers to heaven, the lead role in worshiping him. Now, this was not just written to the elders of the church. If it was, we could address this in our board meeting. Steve could just share this with the group of elders and be done. But does it relate to us? Yes, because as followers of the Lord, you know, we have our own personal mission field. He wants us men to take the lead. No matter what that looks like, wherever we're gathering with other believers, he wants the men to take the lead. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 3. This is Paul. It says, pattern yourselves after me. Follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ the Messiah. I appreciate and commend you because you always remember me in everything and keep firm possession of the teachings just as I pass them on to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay? That's how he designed it. That's how he wants it to be. God, Jesus, men, women. He's desiring us to lead men. He wants us to set the example in prayer, in worship, in teaching the younger generations to live for the Lord. In our gatherings, wherever the setting, in church homes, our families, wherever, God wants his men to be leaders. He's called us to lead. And we all know, we've heard this saying, those God calls, he also equips. According to God's word, men, you're to take the lead. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Somebody said that earlier. He's given us the Holy Spirit as the helper to help us to do that. He's given us his word that we can dive into here and see what this says concerning this subject, and we can glean from this, grow from this, and then put it into practice in our lives, okay? He's also given us godly friends, mentors that we can, you know, bump shoulders with, encourage one another to do just what he's calling us to do. And men, what he's calling us to do today is lead. Take the lead. I want to challenge the ladies. Three things I want to challenge the ladies with. And this is specifically for the ladies that are dealing with men who tend to not take that lead. The challenge being this, three things. If you're dealing, if you find yourself in this place, my challenge is to pray, if it's your husband, pray for your husband to become that man, that leader that God's called him to be. To encourage him to do that in whatever way the Lord tells you to do it. And three, to refrain from taking the lead out of default. Oftentimes women will do that. The men are not leaders. We're just kind of passive, you know, we're quiet. So the ladies would just like, well, somebody's got to do it, so I'm just going to do it. So they step in there and fill that role that they were not really called to fulfill. Okay, so that's my challenge to the ladies. We doing okay so far? Why'd I ask? I ask. Okay, let's move on. It says, men should pray. And it doesn't stop there. It says, men should pray without anger, quarreling, resentment, or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. According to the Bible commentaries that I studied preparing for this, Paul knew that the false teachers in Ephesus at this time period, he knew that there was a, it was a theme, it was a spirit of controversy and contempt that was operating freely among the leaders, which was just stirring up all kind of bad stuff in the church. False teachers. So, knowing that, Paul also knew in writing this letter that if something wasn't to change in this situation, their prayers were not effective. Nothing good was going to come from these people praying because of all this stuff that was going on. Controversy, contention between other believers. And so, thus the need for Timothy to stay there and deal with this stuff, get things in line, okay? Not only did Paul want the men to pray, he wanted them to pray as they practice holiness in their lives. And so it is for us today, men. What's holiness? The definition of holiness, dedicated. Set apart for God's use. Living life acceptable to God, morally pure, refraining from doing any kind of evil. So holiness was an attribute that men were to bring with them into this place of prayer. Holiness calls for a devout lifestyle that seeks passionately to please God. So before we were to go to that place of prayer, God wants us to examine ourselves for, you know, just anything that would separate us from his presence, okay? Examine ourselves, confess any sins that we come up with that the Holy Spirit might reveal, and then receive God's forgiveness, accept it, receive it, and therefore we're cleansed. Then we go into this place of prayer and worship in holiness, okay? It talks about here in this scripture, men should pray without anger, quarreling, resentment, or doubt in their minds. These words, anger, quarreling, resentment, doubt, represented sins that cause broken human relationships, which ultimately affect one's ability to pray, including leading others in prayer. Unforgiven sin sets a barrier between us, our prayers, and God. That's not good. Unforgiven sin sets a barrier between us, our prayers, and God. Colossians 3, let me just read a couple scriptures here, references. Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must forgive. Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we need to do this. We need to examine ourselves before we go into this place of prayer and worship. Make sure we're clear with the Lord, all right? Ask him to reveal himself to you. Any area, Lord, that I've fallen short, that I've dishonored you, reveal that to me, and he'll reveal it to you. He's faithful to do that. You know, ask him to forgive you. He already does. He always forgives. Ask him to help you to truly repent and flee from continuing to do those things in the future. And in that way, we're dealing with these things in the Lord. Then we can go in there, and he just welcomes us right into his presence, okay? Much more effective. Psalms 66, I want to read this. Verses 16 to 20. Come and listen. This is the NIV. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to God with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love for me. So we see right there, according to that, because he was in a place, he was walking in forgiveness from anything that he might have done wrong. He had dealt with those things. You know, he was able, the Lord then heard his prayer and blessed him, whatever it was that he prayed for. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So moving on. I desire, therefore, in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling, resentment or doubt in their minds. The next part, let's spend some time here. It says, lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. This is a church. This is a posture that was often practiced in the early church. There's actual... It's documented they found pictures in the catacombs, like on the walls of the catacombs, of people in this posture with their hands raised up to God, worshiping God. The raising of hands is a posture that signifies the surrender of the entirety of human life, including the heart and mind. It signifies internal cleanness. It's a sign that we crave help from God. First Kings, chapter 8, verse 22. Solomon, this is the wisest man on earth. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And then he prayed. Psalm 28, verse 2. This is his father, David. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, Lord. When I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Psalm 41:2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. One's posture reflects the inner attitude of the person praying. Okay? God's desire, we communicate not only with our words, but also with our body language. And this is body language. It's a reflection of our inner attitude of the person praying. God desires inner holiness and outward righteousness in behavior. So imagine this. Andrew, could you bring that chair up here? Imagine this. Now bear with me here. God sitting in heaven on his throne, watching down over his people who are worshiping him. Okay, so this is what the Lord gave me to do, so I'm going to just do it. So here we are, we're worshiping the Lord. Get a drink. He's hearing, he's not only hearing the words that are coming from our mouth, he's watching our body language, okay? And that's an, our body language is an inner reflection, you know, of the person that, that's actually singing. So how's the song go? Now imagine, this is the Lord. You're sitting in the Lord's spot. So here we are. The song goes like this. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you. Creator of the earth. And then the worship leader says, church, rise up, stand to your feet. Raise your hands in worshiping the Lord as, you know, who's worthy to be praised. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You're my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. That's, is that what he sees when he, you know? How many of us in our lives at some point have needed the Lord to come and rescue us out of a situation? Raise your hands. Now look around. Look around. All these people feel that at some point in their lives they were in need of the Lord to come and rescue them. And how quickly did those hands shoot up? And I'm asking the question. Kirby, the elder of the church, is just asking the question all over the place. However, when we're in the in worship and Benjamin or whoever's leading us and we're singing and worshiping the very one who created us, the one who has all the answers, who is all the answers, the one that has the ability to reach down and in a breath just change your whole situation. And this is what we give him. Come and rescue. Not to judge. I don't want you to feel judged. I mean, there are those that, I mean, you're not to do it. We're not to do it to, you know, just to impress the people beside us. It's nothing about that. Worship is a time of you in the presence of the creator of the universe. It's between you and him. He knows your heart. He knows your intentions. If you physically cannot get on the floor and kneel down, because you know if you do, you're probably not going to get up, don't do it. If you have bilateral shoulder rotator cuff issues and you can only raise your hand this far, just do, you know, don't feel judged if I happen to swing my neck around like I do every once in a while, you know, just to see what's going on around. It's not about that. He knows. If all you can do in that place of worship is focus on him, his face, or focus on him hanging on the cross, and you're picturing yourself bowing at his feet, you're picturing yourself dancing, if that's all you can do, then you just go ahead and do it. It's not about what other people sitting around you see or think or whatever. It's a reflection of your inner pot. You follow me. It's important. We probably need to maybe do some teaching on worship, but just think about that. Think about that the next time we come in here, or the next time we, now don't be driving down the road, you know, and, you know, yeah, don't do that. That's not wisdom, but just think about that. God's desires for inner holiness and outward righteousness in behavior, okay? Okay, let's move on. Lifting up holy hands. It says, also, I desire that women should adorn themselves modestly and appropriately and sensibly in seemly apparel, not with elaborate hair arrangement or gold or pearls or expensive clothing, but by doing good deeds, deeds in themselves good and for the good and advantage of those contacted by them, as befits women who profess reverential fear for and devotion to God. So ladies, let me give you some definitions here. Adorn, some of the words that were in this part of the scripture. Adorn means to decorate or beautify. modestly means well-ordered or moderate, not provocative, not excessive or extravagant in the sight of others. Sensibly means moderate, reasonable, aware of what is best in a particular situation. Paul was a smart guy, wasn't he? Seemly means proper, suitable, contributing to one's attractiveness, being respected by others. Christian women should be known and admired for Christ-like behavior and good deeds versus their clothing, their hairstyle, and other externals that are of primary importance to unbelievers. You hear that? Doing good deeds for others is what will make a woman truly beautiful. Doing good deeds is an outcome and expression of salvation. Paul didn't want women in the church to flaunt their wealth or beauty the way they did in the church of Ephesus at that time. Thus the need for the letter, the teaching. He didn't want them to flaunt their wealth or beauty by the way they dressed, but rather to focus their time, money, and efforts on serving others with good deeds, which is spiritual adornment. First Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the inner person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. In conclusion, God has a divine order for things that he put in place since the beginning of time. These things he put in place were put in place this way for a specific reason. We don't always know why. We don't always understand why. But we just have to trust that he's God. He knows what he's doing. There's a reason, and it's good. Okay? We just have to trust that. And we, whatever that is, we need to honor him in that. Whatever he's calling us to, if it's something that he desires, we just need to honor him, line ourselves up with that. For example, the seasons, these different laws, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of gravity, aging. Who knows why it works the way it does? We don't know why. I don't know why. Just because God wanted it to be that way, we have to honor that, okay? Just go with it. And so it is with our lives as his creation, his men and women, members of his church body. There's certain things that he wants us to be like. He wants us to line ourselves up certain ways if we're going to be a part of his church. Amen. That went quickly. Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the freedom to gather together like this and to just dive in together to your word. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, the revealer of all truth, who just shines the light on this word as we get into it, as we read it, just reveals what you have to say about it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to not just be hearers of the word today, but doers also. Help us to go home and reflect on what was heard today, Lord. Help us to pray and just talk to you about what you have to say in your word, how we are to line our lives up with you. And we trust, Holy Spirit, that you will be there. You will reveal yourself to us and show us areas where we need to make changes or where you're wanting us to do things a little differently, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you would teach us men how to lead. Teach the ladies how to take that step back and be more of a support role. Lord, help us in the area of worship, Lord, not to just to come in here and provide lip service to you, Lord, but to truly enter into a place where you desire us to be, just worshiping you face to face, us and you alone, no one else around. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your availability to us. Lord, as we part now, I just pray your blessing over each and every person here, each and every family. I plead your blood over them as they go out from here, Lord. Bless their day. Help them, Lord, just to feel your presence all around them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, now if you, as you're heading out, if you feel, if there's anything that you do want prayer for, we do have a prayer team that will be coming forward here. Feel free to come up. Not just things that we talked about this morning, anything. We're here to pray. Be blessed.